I'm Lee Furseth of the Headwaters Science Center, and this is the Women of Science Podcast.
This is indeed the first episode of Women of Science, so let's bring in the star of the show, Annie Butler-Ricks. Annie!
Oh, that's kind of you, Kev. Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about why you would be the one to take this one on.
Right. That's a great question. So this is a collaboration between the Headwaters Science Center, the radio station, Public and Broadcasting, and Women United and United Way. And I work at United Way and help with Women United. But I'm a closeted scientist. but not too closeted. Lots of people know this about me in town. But I am a chemist, and I don't work in the field anymore, but I still have a strong passion for science. And with Women United, that works on, helps with community projects, but also honors women in the community. We thought this was a great partnership. So excited to start this podcast and talk about wonderful women in the Bemidji area who are scientists.
And, you know, credit to Lee Furseth that over at Headwaters Science Center, he kind of had this idea, and he kept telling us, we got to meet on this, and we did, and here we go.
Yes, so this is going to be a great collaboration with the Headwaters Science Center.
So let's begin the first ever episode of the Women of Science. Annie, who's here today to visit with us?
Yeah, today we have Dr. Anna Carlson. And Anna is a fifth generation Bemidjian. That's right. Bemidjian?
Bemidjiite?
Bemidjian.
Yeah. Bemidjian.
And I am so excited to have Anna here on the podcast today. Anna, Dr. Carlson, we're going to be informal and use first names, if that's okay.
Fantastic.
We have the utmost respect for titles and for the work. Anna teaches in the Center for Sustainability Studies at Bemidji State University, teaching courses that focus on policy and planning. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, Anna's been here for her family's been here for five generations, and she has two kids that she's raising here in the area, and we're just excited to learn about her and have her as our first Woman of Science guest.
I am so excited to be here, and thank you both for having me. Yeah.
Well, before we get into the science, just tell us about, five generations of Bemidji, and mm-hmm. you're still here. So obviously there's something about this community you like.
I like it a little bit. Yeah, it's no joke. Anyone who has ever met me sees my deep love for the Bemidji community, and it was definitely passed on to me by my grandparents. So I really credit my relationship with my dad's parents, Raymond and Margaret Carlson, for my own love of the Bemidji community. In fact, their parents and one of their grandparents immigrated from Norway and Sweden and settled just north of Bemidji on Lake Beltrami. And that land to this day is land that my family still resides on. So it's an interesting thing to drive past Wildwood Road and think about the generations of Carlsons and Linsets that have been on that.
So your grandma was Margaret Carlson.
Yes.
And your dad married
Margaret.
So there's two Margaret Carlson.
Oh, man, that's been confusing. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm guessing, yeah, there's the mail, the healthcare, all the things involved. Yeah.
Well, Annie, at this point, I'll turn it over to you, and
okay.
I'll listen to some science talk.
Okay. Well, let's jump right in. Can you explain what kind of scientist you are and what you study?
Absolutely. So I am an environmental scientist. I guess that's the best, broadest word you could use to describe me. I have two degrees in environmental studies. My undergraduate degree I got at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and that was environmental studies, policy, and planning. And I came back to Bemidji to get my master's degree in environmental studies with an emphasis, again, in kind of the policy and planning space. But I went on to get my doctorate in sustainable energy planning. And so environmental science is a really broad field. I work with an environmental chemist. Mm-hmm. I work with an ecologist. I work with a geologist. And my background is in energy and climate work. And so we really represent a very, very broad field of science that I'm excited to talk to you more about today, because it really draws both on the natural sciences and the social sciences. And I'm kind of right in the middle.
I love that. I don't know. Have we ever talked about the fact that I was a physical organic chemist and I studied dye-sensitized solar cells and energy transfer and molecules? So I love this because it is such a broad field that it goes across so many different smaller fields, and we study very different things.
Oh, my gosh.
Yet, it's all related. It's really all fun.
Related. I remember when I first met you and your husband, I think Travis had mentioned, my wife studies solar energy. And I was excited to talk to Annie about it, and quickly realized we had very different languages.
Little did you know
that the nature of solar energy that Annie worked with, it was very, very different than mine. But I love your point, is that it is all interconnected and informs each other, you know, it informs the world. So that's what I love about science in particular.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, let's go back a few years. Mm-hmm. So do you have any like memories from when you were young that involve science, maybe like a first science memory? What maybe got you excited about science as you were a child or into the teenage years?
Such a good question. And I have to say, I'm probably not going to give you the kind of answer that you want. Because when I was little and growing up, even going through school, I was mostly into music and friends, and school was kind of a side. And science in particular, everything, it wasn't really a part of my childhood in a way. But when I looked at this question and I reflect back on sort of really what keyed me into science in general was just the practice of being curious. My grandfather that I mentioned was the definition of curious. Any person that he met, he always wanted to learn more about them and their stories. But really, he wanted to also talk about, how do we know what is true? He'd go deep right away and get into epistemology and thinking about things really deeply. And so our dinner table conversations were a healthy mix of, local social stuff and then like some really deep philosophical questions. And I think that I kind of entered my field ultimately being really curious about issues that were being presented to me in my school. Like when I started to learn about climate change, it just clicked in for me about, oh my goodness, we're heading down a very scary path and a dangerous path. And for me, it was more of a call to action and a curiosity of, how do I learn more to better address the problems that I'm learning about? And so science, I think for me, and my exposure to it was really just about how I led with curiosity and learned about topics that were compelling to me. And really it all tied back to, how do I work to preserve this place that I love? Because our family is very much into the seasonal experiences in northern Minnesota, and facing climate change was kind of somewhat overwhelming for me to think about, and the experience over time. So
I actually love that answer, because there are people like me, I will admit this, that knew I wanted to be a scientist from like age 10, right? And it's funny because where am I? I'm in a field that uses my science, but I am not working what I thought I would be doing.
Totally.
But then there's other people who don't plan on doing that from a young age. Yeah. And having that mindset of being curious. And also I hear so much about kids sort of getting in their own mindsets, right? I think a lot about like growth versus, not being able to change their mindset. I have kids myself, and thinking about like when they're like, well, no, I don't need to do that after school club because I'm not like one of the sciencey kids.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know what? Let's have a different mindset about it.
Right.
Are you interested in it? Does it sound fun? Mm-hmm. Are you curious? Mm-hmm. And that could lead us all down paths.
Yeah.
Whether it's our career, hobbies, or whatnot, of things that are interesting and that are science.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that we do in so many ways just kind of stereotype fields or stereotype subject matters in school and think that this is what science is and this is what math is, and not thinking about those interconnectedness, you know, aspects of what really excites us in this world, and what are the various ways that people engage mm-hmm. with what excites us in this world. Yeah. Love it.
Awesome. So you're a faculty member.
Yes.
For the Center for Sustainability Studies.
Yeah.
Is that its own entity, or is that under the Environmental Studies program, or how does
Great
that
fit? Great question. Great question. It has a long and evolving history, but I'll give you the snapshot of where okay. we are right now. The Center for Sustainability Studies is an umbrella department that houses five different programs, environmental studies being one of them. So I teach specifically in environmental studies. We have geology in that center. We have geography in that center, economics, Indigenous sustainability studies as well. And so we're a very eclectic, broad group of scientists ourselves that, again, kind of reflect that mixture of social sciences and natural sciences. And like I said, even within environmental studies, we've got a chemist and an ecologist and things like that. So it's a rich place to work and teach from.
And environmental studies has been a hallmark program at Bemidji State for a long time. I remember yes. when I came to school starting in 81, there were quite a few people who came from out of state.
Yes.
Because it had such a high, mm-hmm. it was highly touted as an environmental studies school.
Indeed. In fact, I think we were one of the first environmental studies programs in the country. I can't remember the date exactly that the program started, but yes, it's had a rich history. It's hard to look at our campus and look at our community and not see just the complete tie-in with environmental studies. We get to study water quality on the shores of Lake Bemidji, right? We get to study ecological communities in native plantings right along the shore of Lake Bemidji. Wow. And it's just a really cool hands-on place to learn about these things compared to other schools that don't get yeah. to enjoy that type of geographic location.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit maybe about like one of those projects that you and your students have worked on, or just maybe a little bit more in depth?
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a couple examples. One is from a colleague of mine who is a water chemist. So he and his students, Dr. Carl Isaacson, get to go out and study water samples. They do a bunch of different types of water sampling for different contaminants. So they're collecting water samples right out their front door and walking right into the lab, first floor SACAS, to do their analysis, right? They're also studying endocrine disruptors in fish. So they're catching their perch from different lakes across the area and testing them for different things, environmental contaminants. So again, that kind of relationship right outside your door is a really cool way to engage with the learning. On my side of things, because that's outside of my scope, I have my students walk outside with what we call solar pathfinders. So they get to see, kind of do sun shade analysis of where a good location might be to put a solar panel if Bemidji State University was to put up solar for electrical generation. So we get to kind of use our campus as a living lab in a way, right? That mm-hmm. they get to explore all these different things and see how really ultimately what we teach about is human impacts on our environment and how, you know, we're our responsibility to be good stewards of this land and space. So
I interview the aquatic biologists mm-hmm. and the wildlife biologists a lot for
yes.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, do you guys ever work together on different things?
Yeah, you know, we're currently working on a program, or at least a modification, where students that are coming to really want to go into conservation officer roles can take a number of different paths. So, like you mentioned, we have a really strong aquatic biology program, a really strong wildlife biology program, and our our center, we all sort of have different elements, right, that we focus on and that we do. And so we're always looking for ways to meet our students where they're at and what their needs are, and really show them the diversity of expertise that's there, that we can kind of help steer them in the direction they want to go.
Just think how fun these labs sound, right? Like getting out, having to go catch your fish and then test
go
them
catch
for
a fish.
Problem. I mean, that sounds like many students in the area idea of a great lab.
Totally. Oh,
So if I come to school and I want to study sustainability at Bemidji State University, what classes am I taking?
So we have a very introductory level. You kind of see a similar class called an Intro to Environmental Science. Where you take from there, you're going to be taking a variety of natural science and social science classes. Again, to emphasize that it's not just one or the other, that we're really understanding the underlying science behind some of the social and environmental problems that we're facing today. But then we kind of get into environmental law and policy, right? How are we structuring sort of our rules and regulations to protect the resources that we so greatly depend on and love to be around? And then there's definitely, we have a core class called environmental controversies, where we really dive into understanding that we all come at issues from very different perspectives and different worldviews, and how do we communicate across differences to really see shared value, shared ways that we can address the problems in front of us. So you get a pretty good diverse education when you come to our center. And one particular thing I wanted to share is over the past few years, we've really emphasized indigenous environmental knowledge in our academic programming. We have a wonderful woman, Awanukwe Kingbird Bratfold, teaching in our Indigenous Sustainability Studies program. And that has been an initiative that's born out of what's called our Niju Gwiakochigewin program. And that is an Ojibwe word for two ways of doing the right thing in the right way. Mm-hmm. And the two ways being like from an indigenous perspective and kind of more from a Western science perspective. And how do we use different ways of knowing and different ways of being to solve the complex environmental problems in front of us? So,
wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, can I ask you, so, you know, you've shared a lot about what's going on at BSU and this center right now. Mm-hmm. What are sort of those pie in the sky goals for your work? Like, your dream big, what do you see for Bemidji? You know, whether this is for Bemidji, just your work, something, what do you see as your ultimate goal? I know, it's a big
question.
That's
a really good question, and I like to dream in concentric circles. Meaning, like, really,
Ken's really regretting doing this podcast. He's like, oh boy, what did that mean?
Like, what do I dream for my little, you know, community? What do I dream for our state? What do I dream for the world? You know, those are big, those are the circles I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
My spheres. And really, at the heart of what I do, I work really hard to build bridges and common understanding. And I think right now, environmental science or environmental issues can sometimes be very divisive. And I kind of see irony in that because we all rely on this environment to live and thrive. And I think that we live in a community that very much loves and respects the beauty and the value of the North Woods. And so me and my colleagues and my students have been working on what we call community resilience planning. And really that is the ability of a community to anticipate, adapt, and thrive in the face of change. And I think one of my dreams is to continue to build our understanding around what kinds of changes might be coming our way, how we can influence those changes in a positive way, or how we can adapt and really thrive as a community. So it's a lot of work that crosses sectors from housing and transportation and water and energy and all of those different things, but really starting to build, you know, knit it together, right? In a that they're all interconnected, and that really and our economic development and opportunity has to be embedded into how we understand, you know, all those actions as well. So, yeah, my dream is to keep weaving those things together and bringing people together around problem solving and opportunity building and things like that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. You had mentioned before we went on the air, I heard Annie in passing say that you don't even consider yourself a scientist.
Nope. So I was like, I don't know if I should be the first.
Sounds pretty sciencey to me, I got to tell you.
Identity is an interesting thing. But yeah, it's, I think, again, with the spirit of curiosity, observation, leaning in, learning more. And I'm always inspired by, I think it's Maya Angelou who said, when you know better, do better. And so I think science is a great way to build our knowledge about knowing what's going on. And we can do better by our community and our world when we know better.
And mm-hmm. Anna is very much an integral part of our community. Anna helped co-found Women United.
Oh.
And so this is sort of a fun connection that she is a scientist who we are, you know, having here today. And as this collaboration involves Women United and United Way, that Anna was a part of that. And that shows how, like, what she does goes beyond. It is weaving those connections.
Yes.
It's building relationships amongst people, right? Having
Absolutely.
These conversations about what you do. Mm-hmm. That does sound very sciencey, but also...
but it's all really relevant, too.
It is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing about this town is the fact that, you know, we talked about it, you know, it's this Headwater Science Center part of this.
Yes.
Not too many towns have a science center that aren't, you know, that are this small.
Totally. We are so lucky. In so many ways, but Headwater Science Center, we are regular visitors with our two little girls. Annie mentioned I was raising two kids. And my daughters love to go to the Science Center. Their favorite is the big magnetic board in the back playroom where they get to design their own pathways to roll the little balls down and catch them. Okay. We can spend a lot of time in that
Actually,
space.
That sounds like awesome. Something I'd find entertaining.
Yeah.
It's great for all ages.
It's great for all ages.
Right?
And all the animals. Oh, mm-hmm. man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're really mm-hmm. lucky.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today. We hope that... this was fun for you to
share
about what you do, and we're excited for everyone to get to know a little bit more about you and the Center for, I just blanked on the name.
Center for Sustainability Studies.
There
studies.
You go.
Thank you,
Nailed it. Well, thank you both. This has been really, really fun.
With our guest, Anna Carlson, and co-host, Annie Butler-Ricks, I'm Kev Jackson. Thanks for joining us for Women of Science.